This evening, we're continuing our series on praying with the saints, looking at some of the prayers found in the Old Testament, and looking at how these prayers apply to our own lives. And tonight, we're going to look at a prayer of Elijah that I entitle Fiery Prayer. It's when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and he prays that the Lord's name be honored. So I'll read from 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll reflect on what does this mean for our lives? What can we learn about prayer from Elijah and from this particular prayer? And then when we move into our prayer time, we'll include some of the elements that stand out from this prayer as we seek the Lord together, praying around our tables. So from 1 Kings chapter 18, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 sephas of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, 'Fill 4 jars with water and put it on the burnt offering and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. And he said, 'Do it a third time.' And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape.' And they seized them, and Elijah brought them back down to the brook Kishon, and they slaughtered them there." Quite a prayer, quite a fiery prayer that the prophet Elijah prays on Mount Carmel. We naturally tend to associate a fire from heaven with the judgment of God. We might even associate lightning coming down as judgment from God. You may remember James and John, the two sons of thunder. After Jesus was rejected by Samaritan villagers, they asked Jesus, "Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" And here they were referring to this very incident in 1 Kings of the fire that came down on Mount Carmel. But Jesus pointed out to them that he did not come to destroy men's lives, but instead to save them. And fire does represent judgment. The soldiers that were sent to seize the prophet Elijah perished by the direct judgment of God. But here in this passage, Elijah encounters the priest of Baal, and the fire of judgment comes down in a very different way that speaks of the salvation, the redemption of God's people. Now, the one primary essential question of this prayer is God the one and true God, or is Baal the true God? Which one is God, the true God? And the proof would be shown in that the sacrifice made by each party, those who are following Baal and those following the Lord God Jehovah, the God who answers by fire, he is God. And you perhaps recall the story, how those who were following Baal cried out to their God and nothing happened. They even cut themselves and in all manner of energy sought to call upon their dead God, but nothing happened. And now in our passage, Elijah calls upon the living God. And Elijah spares no efforts to remove any idea that this was done by trickery or by having an ember buried somehow down in the wood. He has the animal in the wood doused with fire three times so that the water was even flowing out into the trench. So wood and sacrifice was drenched with water. And then Elijah calls upon the Lord in prayer. And a couple of practical lessons for us to learn from Elijah's prayer. First, you may have noticed this, that Elijah appeals to God as the God of the covenant. In verse 36, he refers to him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He reminds himself and the Lord of who God is and of the covenant promises that the Lord had made to his people. How helpful this is for us as we think about prayer, to remind ourselves of who the Lord is. What are the promises that he has made? Second lesson for us in this passage is that Elijah prays that the Lord would reveal himself, that the Lord would make himself known in a very demonstrable way. And in the Old Testament and in the establishment of the church in the New Testament, God would work through signs and wonders as a demonstration of his power, of his authority, of a communication that what the prophet was saying, or in this case praying, indeed was true. It was a vindication, a verification. Well, we too are to pray that God might reveal himself, but God has revealed himself through the scriptures. And I think here, part of praying to our covenant God is praying that we might grow in our knowledge of him, in our love for him, our understanding of who he is. Just as Elijah here prays that God might be known. The fourth lesson for us from this passage is that Elijah prayed that God might vindicate his servant. that the truth of Elijah as a prophet of God would be demonstrated or verified. It speaks of Elijah's own devotion to the Lord, his resolve to follow the Lord. His desire is that God and God's name might be honored and cherished and adored by the people wholeheartedly. And I think we too can pray, not merely that God's people would be vindicated today, but that his name might be honored, that his reputation would be advanced, and his character might be cherished by others. The final lesson, I think, for us from this prayer is Elijah prays that the Lord would, through this working of God, would draw the Lord's people back to himself once more in verse 37. That they would choose between two opinions, serving the living God or serving Baal, and that they would resolve themselves to follow the Lord. I think we too are to pray that we might be those who return to our first love. Our society is not far from what Elijah found in his day. There are many who call on gods, false gods, in our day. And our desire is that people, and certainly the Lord's people, that we might be renewed and refreshed, that God might bring genuine revival, genuine awakening of his presence, of his greatness and his glory. Well, God answers his prayer with a descent of fire from heaven. And this is something very striking as this judgment falls. The judgment of God, the fire of God, falls on the sacrifice of this bull. And you may have noticed in verse 38 that it's at the time of the offering of oblation. Which was the sacrifice in which the people would acknowledge their sins, and their sins would have been placed on the animal, and the judgment of God fell on the animal, on the sacrifice, instead of the people. It's an expression of God's grace, his provision of redemption through a sacrifice as a substitute for the people. The animal sacrifice was consumed instead of the people in their sin being consumed. We know in the Bible that the Old Testament sacrificial system ultimately points to our Savior Jesus and his righteous work on the cross. His sacrificial, substitutionary sacrifice for those who believe in his name. We know that the blood of bulls and goats are not able to save, but the precious blood of Jesus is sufficient for that, fulfilling that everlasting covenant of cleansing all who believe on him from all of their sin. So Jesus went through the fire of God's wrath because of our sins. His sacrifice is accepted by the Father. We'll be celebrating Easter in a few weeks, and that resurrection is a vindication of Jesus's death on the cross being accepted as a just and righteous sacrifice that our sins were on him, and God burnt his wrath, his righteous judgment of fire against Jesus, so that we might experience the grace and forgiveness of Christ. Well, back to the sons of thunder. James and John, who asked if they could bring fire down from heaven against the Samaritans who did not believe. And Jesus said, you know, I did not come to destroy mankind in his coming into this world, but that men might be saved or believe. Well, this is a reminder to us that despite our own temptation, we are not to pray that the fire of heaven might descend upon our enemies or upon mankind. I know you might be tempted as you see and experience difficult circumstances or you see the decay of our society. God is sovereign in bringing judgment as well as salvation. Rather, I think we are to pray that the fire of God will come down, the fire of expressed in Pentecost, which were flames of the tongues of his own people, declaring the good news of the gospel to the nations that were gathered there on that day of Pentecost. From that day, and even to our day, we've been entrusted with the same message of Jesus, that others would not experience the fire of God's judgment for their own sin, but instead look to Jesus, and they too might have the assurance of the forgiveness of their sins. The end result of the fire that fell in Elijah's day is the people were confessing that indeed the living and true Lord, the covenant God of Elijah, of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, is the Lord God. This is the affirmation that we affirm, that he is our God. We desire that as a result of the fire of God on our tongues, that we would proclaim the gospel, that others would acknowledge that he is the true, the great, and the living God. Well, let's gather as we're around our tables for a season of prayer. And let us begin to pray as we bring our praise to God for his covenant faithfulness, his promises. Let's spend some time praising him for the forgiveness of our sins through the righteous work of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Let's go to our God and praise together.